Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell.
Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from Counting Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season four. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcasts and join me for the story behind the song.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See the Podcast, Season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Tour set, pop!
So on this past Friday, I was hanging out with my friend Andrew. We were having a game night and I ended up putting on some BTS videos. And of course, because this had just come out, I put on the Daechita music video and I was talking to him about this album that Yoongi just put out and blah, 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 you know, totally like, I mean, regular friends don't want to hear this, you know, but he was so cool with it. And he is somebody who like has an interest in global music. So the next day he texted me, he sent me a Snapchat of, his Google Home playing songs from the D2 mixtape. And he texted me this whole big thing about the Daechita music video.
Yes.
And the Daechita song, how he's just obsessed with it, loved the like the instrumentation. And so this is shout out to Andrew. I think he listened to our D2 episode about the mixtape, and I hope that he's listening to this one because when we're recording this right now, it's his birthday.
Yeah.
So happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Andrew. It made me so happy when you were texting me all this. You're like, yeah, he went and listened to our D2 review episode. I just was... Mm-hmm. I felt that was like so sweet of him to do that with not really knowing much about BTS or really not knowing much about Augusti and all that. But it just touches me that he enjoys Daechita and everything and that he's like enjoying the mixtape and even listening to the podcast.
Yeah, like he's not just listening to it to be like a nice friend, but like he actually, I think he's actually found an interest in it. So of course I'm like, new army, come
new
stand
army,
BTS.
Convert. That's what we're here for. That's what we do.
Yeah, so shout out to Andrew. I hope that you enjoy this entire episode about the Daechita music video. And on that note, welcome back, Iconics. And if you're new to the podcast, I'm Kate.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
What a wonderful hour it is too. But disclaimer, this is an informative fangirl podcast. That means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast though, so if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some, Min Yoongi is so fucking hot.
Or all hail King Yoongi.
Yes. If you're down for that, then you're in the right place. Because like I said, today we are talking about the Daechita music video. We're super excited to get into it. But before we do, we want to say thank you, Iconics, for being here and for supporting us. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our Google Docs full of episode notes, important links, and pictures, you can do that by donating monthly to our Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts. Also, if you didn't hear our announcement last week, for patrons of $5 or more, reaction videos will now be posted multiple times throughout the month. If you are a $5 patron, yesterday you just got the posting for our reaction video to the Daechita music video. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Definitely be checking that out. Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out weekly episodes. Any type of support is super appreciated.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for all of your support that you give us. We just, it makes everything so worth it.
Yes, it does.
Our charity of the month, as we spoke about yesterday, is Black Lives Matter. Please take action to promote Black Lives Matter in your personal life and support this charity at blacklivesmatter.com, where there is a wealth of information and resources. If you didn't check out our episode yesterday, the description of that episode has a ton of resources and information as well. Please join us in donating to the Black Lives Matter charity if you can.
Okay, so an overview for this episode. We are going to do a brief summary of the Daechita music video storyline. Then we're going to get into the historical setting of the music video. Then we'll get into various symbols and Korean traditions and cultures that are featured throughout. Then we're going to kind of end it with some of our favorite fangirl moments, because there's a plethora amount of fangirl moments. And then overall, at the end, we're going to just give our impressions of the music video and kind of what we thought about it.
Yeah, but we get really into Korean traditions and cultures and symbols that are featured. And I think we both gravitated towards things that were interesting to us. And we're really excited to share some of the stuff that we have learned with you guys.
Yeah, totally. So for a brief storyline summary here, the setting is in this traditional Korean palace. There's also other settings in a marketplace, this kind of prison area inside this Korean palace, a palace execution area, and then also like a common area where maybe like the public would come for a gathering of some sort. We see that there's two different Yoongis that are presented throughout the video. There's King Yoongi and a bottom class Yoongi. So it starts off with bottom class Yoongi walking through this marketplace, and he's greeting and recognizing people. He happens to have this silent exchange, though, with a person at the market, and it happens to be the meat butcher at this market. Mm-hmm. He has this kind of silent exchange.
Yeah. And after we see this, we see King Yoongi gallivanting around rows of people that are kneeling face down to him. And at the end of this kind of bouncing, singing around, he signals an execution with an off with their head movement where his thumb drags across his throat. So then we go into a execution scene where we can already see three heads hanging in bloody sacks, kind of suspended from the balcony that King Yoongi is looking on from. And one person had just been beheaded. We see it in the video. And then there's 12 more people lined up there waiting to be beheaded. Interesting to note that while this is happening, King Yoongi is singing the Daechita chorus during this scene, which is asking the Daechita music to be played loud. So it's like amplify the king and amplify the actions of the king. Then we see suddenly bottom class Yoongi driving in to this little like courtyard, like execution area in this modern car, and the two kind of eye each other back and forth.
Mm-hmm. And as they're eyeing each other, King Yoongi at first gives a thumbs up, like he's approving of what the bottom class Yoongi is saying, but then happens to change his mind and gives the bottom class Yoongi a thumbs down. So mm-hmm. we kind of thought maybe this is like lower class Yoongi being somewhat treasonous or something that would upset King Yoongi. And the rest of the music video from here on out is nighttime. It's been daytime mm-hmm. up to this point, so it changes to nighttime. And then we see a shot of lower class Yoongi in prison, tied up, blindfolded, waiting for his execution, surrounded by like this, like all these flames of fire, mm-hmm. ropes around him. He's fighting these restraints while rapping, "I'm a king, I'm a boss." Mm-hmm. Then it cuts to King Yoongi getting up from his throne, also rapping, "I'm a king, I'm a boss." And then it ends with him rapping off with their heads. And mm-hmm. it then here cuts to the execution scene.
Right. So as bottom class Yoongi is waiting to be executed, he starts headbanging while calling for the Daejeutah to be played, which, I mean, we all see it in the music video. It's totally an iconic part. And what's interesting is that all of the people in this like central plaza area who were previously kneeling face down are now, they're still kneeling, but they're sitting up, and they are also headbanging along with bottom class Yoongi to the beat of the Daejeutah.
Mm-hmm. And then we get these wonderful, beautiful shots of King Yoongi doing this traditional sword dance as he's preparing for the execution himself, even though he's not the executioner. So King Yoongi is fighting for his kingdom while also bottom class Yoongi is fighting for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And as he's doing this beautiful sword dance, he goes in to slash his sword as if he is executing this bottom class Yoongi. And it's in the same time as which the actual executioner also slashes his sword.
Mm-hmm. So really cool, like camera direction right there. Mm-hmm. The next thing that it shows is the executioner did not actually cut bottom class Yoongi's head off, but he cut his restraints from his wrist. And then we find out, of course, the executioner is actually the meat butcher from the market who he kind of, you know, exchanged glances with at the beginning of the video. And the meat butcher opens up this box and hands Yoongi a revolver. And bottom class Yoongi then approaches the king, walks up, looks up at the balcony where King Yoongi is looking down from, and he raises his arm and shoots him.
Yeah.
And that's how the video ends.
That's how the video ends.
It's important to note that a lot of people have correlated some parallels in this storyline of this music video with the Korean movie Masquerade from 2012. There are some parallels in there for sure, but we didn't feel like it was directly derived or taken mm-mm. from that movie.
No.
But if you're interested, you know, if this kind of storyline, if this music video interests you, maybe that you might like that movie.
It's a very popular movie in Korea, supposedly. Yeah. So I know yeah. that I've been kind of eager to watch it. I haven't watched it yet, but I plan to.
For sure. Yeah. So I'm going to get into the historical setting, and it's just interesting how you and I ended up researching through this. Like I am such a kind of history nerd a little bit. I really enjoy history. I know you do too, but you got
no,
into,
oh,
so cut that.
I really hate history. That's
you
my
hated
like,
history.
I don't hate history. That sounds terrible. I think history is important, but it was for sure my least favorite class. Like I really struggled to care or pay attention. I guess I see the importance and relevance, but Yeah. Wow. It's not my fave.
I love history. So I just ended up filling in a lot of this history information. So let's talk about the historical setting of this video. There's a lot of references in the lyrics and in the video visually and conceptually to the Joseon dynasty. This dynasty was a Korean dynasty in place from 1392 until 1897. So like 500 years. A little bit of general info. Because it was so long, much of modern Korean etiquette, norms, and societal attitudes towards political issues, as well as language, dialect, and culture, derive from the culture and traditions of this dynasty. So I think it's so interesting that he is really referencing this dynasty because it's where a lot of his cultural traditions have come from. In this dynasty, the king had absolute authority, although the true power of the king kind of depended on the political movements of the time. There could be, you know, certain groups or factions or just kind of chatter, you know, that would kind of threaten the king's true power because of how people saw the king. So there's some principles of the Joseon dynasty. There are three fundamental rules called Samgyeong and five moral principles called Oryeon. And these were kind of how everybody was supposed to live their life. So the three fundamental rules were that you must have loyalty to the king, you must have filial obedience to the parents, and there also must be differentiation between men and women. I guess like the roles of men and women. For the five moral disciplines, these were more ways that people should morally guide their life and not necessarily like the rule of law of the land. So these moral principles were righteousness and justice, which is the relationship between the monarch and the people, warmth and closeness between parents and children, differentiation between husband and wife, order between seniors and juniors, and trust between friends. So you can see from especially those moral disciplines, how some things have come to be represented in modern Korean culture too, like order between seniors and juniors with honorifics.
Yeah.
I feel like honorifics is such a big thing, super prevalent, used all the time.
Yeah, something is definitely carried over from that time.
Yeah, for sure. And warmth and closeness between parents and children too, and having good relationships with your family, trust between friends. We often talk about like BTS as a friend group, how close they are, how much they have to trust each other to be that close. Like there's a lot of physical and emotional closeness that we don't always experience in Western culture. So that could stem from that as well. The Joseon dynasty had a very specific societal structure as well. They had a caste system based on Confucian ideals. So this caste system was made up of four groups underneath the king. The first and the highest is the Yeonban, and this is the scholar gentry, which was full of aristocrats, the ruling class, military officers, and civil servants. So basically everybody who worked for the king and who did, you know, the king's bidding. Also, you know, scholars. The second highest class, which would be kind of like the upper middle or the middle class, is the Chungin. And they basically did whatever you would consider now to be white collar work. So interpreters, scientists, engineers, doctors, accountants, and also interestingly, musicians. That one just kind of stuck out to me because this podcast.
We kind of had conversation about that because we've talked about how K-pop is seen as the soft power for South Korea.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that they put a lot of their resources and funding into things like K-pop and K-dramas and stuff like that. So it's interesting to see that musicians are still seen as like this upper.
Like historically.
I don't know if it's upper class, but you know, they really cherish their musicians
for sure,
and think highly of them.
It's cool to think that like historically musicians were in a place, you know, a high place in society, and that's why they do use that soft power of music in Korean culture to kind of, you know, impress on other cultures around the world. Very, very cool. Mm-hmm. I still am in love with the idea of soft power. I wish that our country used soft power so much more often instead of hard power. I just think, wow, what a more... Anyways, okay, I'll stop. But okay, so the third group, and this would be more like the commoners, is the Sangmin. And the Sangmin, like, it was the commoners, so peasants, laborers, fishermen, craftsmen, and merchants. And these people were considered, quote, clean, but they had little social status. And then the lowest people, or the Chonmin, were called the, quote, vulgar commoners. And this included the untouchables, slaves, and serfs. So very strict caste system going on here. We kind of think that the bottom class Yoongi falls into the Sangmin or the Chonmin kind of level. I think
somewhere in
I think because he was, like, you know, in the marketplace kind of greeting everybody, I don't think that he would fall into the lowest people. I think he would fall into, like, more of the commoners.
The commoners, for sure. Yeah.
So probably the Sangmin. Last kind of historical context that I want to mention is King Gwanghae himself. I spoke about him a little bit last week, just when we did the mixtape review, but it came up more this week when we were doing this. So King Gwanghae, he had a lot of paranoia about losing the crown or losing power because he had a brother who would also have been a legitimate ruler, and the northern factions really supported his brother. So they acted out very violently. He acted out himself very violently, and he executed northerners who acted against him. Basically, if there was any whisper of treason, he acted out.
Treason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's also revered as being talented and pragmatic in politics, especially regarding interpersonal relationships with foreign factions. There was a lot of warring, neighboring like groups of people at the time, and he was always kind of negotiating and brokering deals between them. He was disposed of power via a coup d'etat, and he fled to Jeju Island, where he later died. And after, you know, history is at least regards him as being a victim of the feuding political factions, that he wasn't actually as bad as people thought he was in his time. And it's agreed that he did a better job of caring for his country than his predecessor or his successor. And then in South Korea now, he's considered to be one of the wiser kings and not a despot. So I thought that was very interesting that he, you know... Mm-hmm. He's a king to look up to, you know, he was a positive king, regardless of how this King Yoongi is portrayed in the video.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that it's mostly set just for this time period during this, like, Joseon dynasty, because of just, like, a lot of the traditional songs, especially with, like, Daejita. Like, I think that's really where it all kind of stemmed from. So I don't think that Min Yoongi, King Yoongi, is supposed to really reflect King Gwanghae.
King Gwanghae, yeah. Even though he mentions it, but I don't think that he's supposed to, like, be him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So let's get into some symbols about... that come up, some symbols that come up in this video. The first thing that we should talk about is the Daejita itself. We brushed on it a little bit last week, but the music of this song begins and ends with the rallying calls from the Deungche, who is basically the conductor of the Daejita. And as we talked about last week, this music has been used to announce a king and to advance into battle. There's many instruments used, such as the brass horn, seashell horn, tapyongso, gong, cymbals, and a smaller dragon decorated drum. Connecting this song and music video, the Daejita announces the arrival of Min Yoongi, and he says to play it loud. Yeah.
So another symbol that comes up is the scar that is put over Yoongi's eye. A lot of armies were questioning what this meant, and there were tons of things going around on Twitter about whether or not his scar was healed versus not healed in certain parts of the video, whether it was like fresh in one shot and healed in another. We didn't really dive much into that because Yoongi, during his like behind, when he was kind of talking about his mixtape and the music video, he said that he wanted the scar to just be shocking. And we all kind of felt like clowns. But I do think that there is some symbolism that goes along with this scar. So anciently, honor was seen not as an interview virtue, but as a reputation worthy of respect and admiration. A man's claim to honor was judged by his peers and thus his actions, and the visible proofs of such were highly valued. So something like a scar.
Wow.
At its most basic, strength, toughness, and courage are like common things that go along with what a scar has, like what it shows or represents, as well as a readiness to stand up for any insult or attack, which is kind of what we see happen with King Yoongi, acting on
definitely, you know,
someone who's committing treason or whatever. Also, according to the ancient historian Arian, when the troops of Alexander the Great mutinied against him in 324 BC, he sought to rally their support with a speech in which he pointed to his scars as tangible evidence of the legitimacy of his leadership. So even having a scar being a proof, being proof or evidence to being a leader, being in a leadership role like a king.
Definitely. Oh my gosh. Oh, I should also point out that like what we're talking about in this section, like with all these symbols, like Bethany researched hers and I researched mine. Like I'm just learning about this for the first time too. That's so cool.
Yeah. We're hearing from each other. It's great.
Yeah, dude. I think that scar is super symbolic in that video then.
I do think that he used it because of some of the symbolism, but I think he did want it to just be shocking. And I think he totally was feeling himself with it. And we were all feeling him with it too. So, he looks great. He definitely great looks and sexy.
Hot. Yeah.
but like, I like how he said that he just wants it to be shocking. Like, right. Okay.
Definitely shocking. No. We were shocked. We were all shocked. Yeah. But like, he's scarred, you know? It can mean so many different things, like related to his story or whatever.
Yeah. Lastly, what I want to just share about the scar is I think maybe some people were reminded of Give It To Me a little bit, because in Give It To Me, Yoongi has cuts and scrapes on his cheek and nose at certain parts. So having like face scars, cuts, is kind of like an Augusti thing.
Yeah. Been beat up a little bit. Yeah. Another symbol is the conical hat that we see him wearing at the beginning of the music video as he's kind of entering the market. And this hat is found all over East Asia. It has variation in styles and names depending on the area. But the one from Korea is called the Kairip. And this hat is traditionally the hat of farmers and people of the lower class. And it's used to protect the wearer from both the sun and the rain. You could also, interesting little tidbit, you could dip it into water to use it as like a cooling evaporation tool. Like just let it get a little moist and then put it on. People would do that too.
Interesting.
Yeah. And although it seems like Yoongi's character in the video is also using this hat to disguise himself and kind of go in a little bit undercover into the market. At least that's how it seemed to me. Like he was kind of hiding his face with it a little bit.
But I'm glad that you pointed it out because it was very prominent right at the beginning of the music video and it stood out a lot. And I think it said a lot about like his class and where he really, this more bottom class Yoongi stood.
Yeah, like a farmer's hat.
In contrast to the King Yoongi.
For sure.
Yeah. So next we're going to talk about the sword or the sword dance that Yoongi does. So this is kind of what we've theorized. If you guys know any more information on it, please let us know. Yoongi, from behind the scenes of the music video, he at least it was translated as sword dance. So we kind of just went off of that to dive into this a little bit. So what we found was this traditional sword dance called Komu. It's a traditional sword dance practice in Korea. It's performed with special costume, dance moves, and music. So the dance is known for its grace and performance. Extra emphasis is placed on movement of the costuming, notably the sleeves, in harmony with the movements of the dancer. The symbol use of Sangdangeum keeps to the militaristic origins of this dance. So Komu has become a dance of great beauty and is treasured as the South Korean's 12th important intangible cultural property. Wow. Which I thought was very interesting. There's tons of links in this Google Doc to learn more about it. I do have like my doubts about this, if this is exactly what the dance is, because when I watched a lot of the dances, these traditional sword dancers, they were primarily performed by women from what I was gathering, and it was much more decorated. So I'm not sure if the sword dance that he does for this is that, or there's different versions of it, or if there's more of a ritual that's done with executions back in the Joseon dynasty. But it's definitely something worth like just knowing about. Like it was interesting to go and watch these performances of this traditional Korean sword dance.
Yeah, definitely very interesting to watch. Regardless of if, you know, it's exactly what he was talking about, but it is cool. It is super cool to know about. The next thing I want to talk about is the Shinmungo. So the Shinmungo is a drum that was set up in the early days of the Joseon dynasty by King Taejun. And its purpose was to provide a place for people to bring their petitions and their grievances to the king. People traveled from far and wide to bang the drum and be heard by the king. So it was sat outside or just, you know, inside the king's palace. However, upon arrival, these people who had just heard about this existence of this drum, they were told that they had not followed proper procedure and spoke to all of the necessary officials before arriving. There should have been two other people in their own town and then Providence that they should have spoken with before even being able to meet with the king. So really banging on the Shinmungo became nearly impossible, because usually talking to those first two people would address the grievance, or at least shoo the grievance away enough that the king wouldn't have to actually hear it. The only way to surpass the procedures of meeting with the officials before arriving was if somebody was petitioning about or against some treason that had happened. King Taejun, he won the throne by killing his brothers and was therefore immensely concerned about the threat of treason, as he was so treasonous to his own brothers. Through this research, I found pretty interesting. The idea of the Shinmungo survives in the 21st century, as there is a e-petition website existing in South Korea since 2014, where people can go on there and like file a grievance and also look up other grievances that have been filed by province in South Korea.
That is crazy, because to me, I'm just thinking like, would there ever be anything in America to exist like this? Like, no. Like, no. I'm just picturing this drum, this Shinmungo, outside like the White House or something like that, you know?
Right.
But the fact that this tradition, this drum, even though it seems like it was nearly impossible to actually beat on this drum, but the fact that it's carried over into the 21st century, into this like e-petition, like online, that is crazy.
Yeah, I think, I mean, and also we have to take in the size of South Korea compared to the size of the United States.
I
like
know.
Even the e-petition, it's a smaller country, less with a smaller population. So maybe it's a little bit more feasible for anybody. And they probably have a whole system organized and set up like different committees to, you know, for each area to address mm-hmm. it. Like we would have to have like different committees at a state level, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah.
But I feel like even at a state level, it would get out of hand. In yeah. America,
oh,
at least.
Yeah. It would not work. It would not work here. I just think it's cool that it's existing here in modern times, that yeah. it had such an effect culturally, like a lasting effect that mm-hmm. they made a website for it. And the reason why I bring up this drum to begin with is because you can see this drum clearly in the execution and beheading scenes in like kind of that dirt floor area, you know, yeah,
yeah,
where those all
yard.
Those people were, yeah.
I don't even know if it was
where
a
the heads
yard.
Were. Yeah, I don't know.
It was an execution area,
right? Not the big one where Yoongi is executed, but like the smaller one where all the people are lined up. But you can see the drum clearly there, right underneath King Yoongi's balcony, just sitting there, mm-hmm. untouched. You know, mm-hmm. I think it's just interesting that it's. That's included.
Is really interesting. So the next symbol we're going to talk about is the jade key that we see Yoongi grab, which we're maybe assuming that this is the car key. We really don't mm-hmm. know. We think the key could be more symbolic. It could even be at the point of like the key to the kingdom or to the palace of some sort. But what's more interesting than the key is the jade that is on the keychain. I know because my sister is engaged to a man who's from China, and I have learned a lot about the significance of jade. And I did mm-hmm. see that a lot of armies on LinkedIn and Twitter were pointing out the relevance and importance of the jade. So just a little bit of history. I first want to cite this article called "The Meaning of Jade Jewelry to Koreans." It's written by Kathy O'Brien. Pretty much everything I have in here about jade is from this article because I felt mm-hmm. that they did a beautiful job of explaining it, especially pertaining to like Korean culture. Yeah. So jade started to be mined and polished in 57 BC. It was formed into ornaments and beads. Beads were used as decoration on crowns, as well as used to make rings, earrings, bracelets, and necklaces. From 918 AD to 1392 AD, Koreans improved their carving techniques and were able to form objects and engrave designs into jade. So Koreans began to make more intricate objects with jade, such as containers and hairpins, beginning in 1392. So jade objects and jewelry were only accessible to the upper classes and royalty because of just like how rare it was.
Interesting. I'm already like just that because it's the bottom class Yoongi grabbing this jade key.
Yeah. Yeah. It only like in that time period really was only owned or possessed by upper classes and royalty. Yeah. And his fucking cocky expression when he grabs it too.
Yeah. Damn.
So jade and Korean culture. So Korean jade is thought to have magical powers that can improve health, fortune, and general well-being. Koreans also believe that jade can ward off evil spirits. Jade in Korea is also believed to signify the Korean personality of politeness and determination. And the Korean royal family uses jade as a symbol of authority and fortune.
Wow.
Just going off of that, very interesting to see that bottom class Yoongi is in possession of some jade on his
no wonder why
car
he's so cocky.
I know. Yeah. So lastly, in terms of the royal significance of jade, jewelry made by Korean jade was considered rare and expensive prior to the 1900s. So it wasn't until more recently that it really became affordable or more accessible to people who weren't of royalty. Royalty used jade to adore their crowns. The jade was cut into hook or comma shapes and placed in prime locations on the crowns where the gems could easily be seen by onlookers. Jade was a status symbol for the royal family due to its symbolism of good health and fortune. So yeah, it's just really interesting to kind of hear the significance of jade, because it continues to today, the significance of this very precious gem.
Very cool. I had never learned about this ever. Like, thank you so much for bringing it up. I don't know. Did you notice at all if, like, the King Yoongi had any jade in his possession in this music video?
I don't know. I can't really say I noticed it.
Yeah.
I also think that jade had, like, a carving in it, too, but I didn't really look to see what was carved into it.
Yeah, what the design was. It's just interesting that, like, that last kind of what you were saying, like, it's symbolic to the royal family of good health and fortune, and for King Yoongi in this video to not have any jade at all. I remember, like, gold in his hairpiece, you know, but I don't remember any jade. But then for, you know, this lower class Yoongi to have this jade key representative of all these things.
A pretty decent sized block of jade too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the real super king?
Cool. Yeah. He's the real king for sure. Yeah. He's about to commit treason, I guess.
Who is it?
Yeah. He's about to rule.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next symbol, which is very broad, it's many symbols, is just blonde-haired Yoongi, okay? Hear me out. I wanted to kind of go into the significance of the blonde hair because of the way he's wearing it. I'm also kind of, I was interested to learn more about it because, like, Taeyang, when he was in Harang, also wore this similar kind of hairstyle. So I just wanted to know more about, like, the hair. And I did not understand when I went into this. I really opened up an entire history, Korean history textbook with this one.
You opened a Pandora's box of hair information.
I really did. There's so much out there. So I'm just going to share it because I feel like it might be interesting to you guys. It was super interesting to me. So I'm going to start off with Sangtu. And so Sangtu. So in Korean society, when a boy, like, would grow up and become older, he'd start to pull his hair back into a top and kind of tie it into this top knot. And that top knot is called Sangtu. This was the ordinary hairstyle for the men of the Joseon dynasty, especially among the noblemen and the scholars. So the hair was pulled up into a top knot and a headband, and that headband is called a mangojon, and it was used to basically hold their hair in place. The mangojon was also used to hold, like, headgears in place, but there's a lot of different headgears. I didn't even dive into all the different headgears that you can put over this top knot, but basically the mangojon is to hold everything into place. And Yoongi does have that on, and it's really just to keep, like, his hair sleek and down and, like, prevent flyaways or anything like that. But the top knot was a sign of manhood for the men, since they would start to wear their hair into this top knot when they got married. Also, it was really common to marry at a young age back in this time period. So usually the sangtu is held together by a pin called a donga, which is basically a binyo that is together with that headband that they pair. And guanja, which is like little stones, like gemstones that they'll put in there. And it's really all just to, like, it's just a part of the whole appeal. Like, it's all these different pieces and components, and they're all just, like, different accessories, really all surrounding the sangtu, the, like, top knot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool.
And then lastly, I kind of got into specifically King Yoongi, where he's got, like, his top knot, but he has this piece, this, like, really fashionable piece over the top knot, and that's called a sangtu guan, and it's basically a small cap that goes over the sangtu. It's like this little golden crown used to cover the top knot that is specifically used by kings and crown princes. The coronet seems to consist of two parts, the actual crown and then the pin that fastens it, which I think the pin is still called a dongot. But holy crap. Like when I went in to look at, like, just go into Yoongi's hair, I just opened up this whole book of like all these different pieces and all the different meanings of these pieces and their uses and what they're for. So it was just really interesting to me. If you guys check out the Google Doc, you can go see, like, they still make a lot of these accessories and they're really beautiful, beautifully made. But I just really wanted to know the significance, especially of the Sungtuguan that he's wearing. And I just found out that it's basically like a crown for kings.
A crown. I would have never known that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so cool. That's super cool. I love that this was something that you gravitated towards and like wanted to dive into.
Yeah, I just found it really interesting. And I think he just looks so beautiful and stunning. Lastly, what I kind of want to point out before we get into fangirl moments, I feel like Yoongi kind of touched on this for his behind for his music video. When I saw the blonde Augusti, I was taken back to old Augusti, like give it to me Augusti, because he's blonde in that music video. And so in his behind the music video, Yoongi kind of mentions that the king Yoongi is the old Augusti, and this bottom class Yoongi or black haired Yoongi is the current Augusti. And so I really felt like it was purposeful that he had the king Yoongi be blonde to really even demonstrate and show more of that old Yoongi. And I also really find that it's interesting how old Yoongi is in this position of this old Augusti is in position of like king power here and give it to me. And that whole, his first mixtape is very aggressive and it just shows like a little bit power hungrier, like wanting more to like obtain more. And I think that just like really perfectly correlates over with like the King Yoongi in this video.
I feel like all of the symbolism that goes along with the King Yoongi too, that is supposed to like add to his power, is like directly in contrast to the fact that like the king doesn't have any jade, or that at the end of the video, the king is, you know, shot himself, like dethroned himself. I think again, also going along with like that, that's like old Augusti,
and that this is fears new of Augusti. Old Augusti.
Mm-hmm. And he, you know, he may not feel, he doesn't feel the same way or make music even the same way that he did then.
But it's only his better self that's taking over.
Prevailing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taking over. Yeah, for sure. Wow. Okay. Let's get into some fangirl moments. I feel like, first of all, we have to preface that every single shot of this music video, he looks fucking hot. Okay. He looks good. We could literally talk about every single moment. Like, you know that we could, but that would just be way too much. Overall, we love that he is talking out of the side of his mouth. Super hot. He's crouch walking as he's rapping. He's like power walking at us. And he has just so many cocky smirks throughout the whole thing. And, you know, it's just really hot.
It is hot. And then
also his fucking eyebrows. Like, he is really, especially when he is in the King Yoongi outfit, because it's, you know, all of the hair up off of his head, his eyebrows are so impactful, just furrowed and angled down, and he angles and he looks over his brow
beautifully groomed though. And he just looks so stunning and gorgeous in every single shot, like every single shot.
Incredible. This one moment we cannot get over. Right at 47 seconds, this is when he's in the market and he kind of like turns his head as if he's looking, you know, over to the side, but he's rapping and he pushes his hair back with both of his hands, exposing full forehead, and he's like crinkling his nose at the same time. It's like aggressive and super hot.
It's
and
so hot.
We just didn't know how to handle it.
This unnecessary snarl. Oh
yeah, what the fuck.
It's wonderful. We have to point out Jungkook are featured in this video. For me, I notice Jin. I did not notice Jungkook at first, but when I watched it the first time through, Jin's expression was really captivating because first off, him and Yoongi hit each other really hard, like when they run into each other. And when Jin whips around, I mean, I just couldn't miss him. But I could see how you could at first because he's got like facial hair on. But I feel like his expression is just so funny to me. And then seeing Jungkook go and punch him and kind of get in a fight with him, it felt like it was very Jungkook. And I thought, how cute that Yoongi had them feature in his music video.
I love it. I didn't notice them at first, like at all.
Yeah.
Somebody bumped into him
really
pretty hard.
I was really pulled in by Jin's like really shocked expression. I just couldn't help but to like kind of look away from Yoongi at that moment because I thought it was like he's like in the center of the screen. I didn't notice Jungkook, which is weird.
Yeah.
And I noticed Jin. Another fangirl moment for me is going back to the Jade and this car key. I love when he goes to grab this key. First off, he kind of like puts on like a bracelet and looks like he's rolling up his sleeves like he's about to fucking grab this nice ass Jade key. And the way that he grabs it and he charges towards the camera, he kind of tilts his head down and looks up with this evil, sexy glare. It's right at 129. And man, I really felt that glare when he looked at us.
Yeah, that fucking glare, man. It goes along with like the power walk that he does later. He's out in like that big plaza area where all those people are kneeling, and he just power walks and he's like shaking his finger, pointing at the camera the whole time. I don't know why I am so impacted by that moment. Like, I just want him to shake
his
finger
at
me.
Yeah,
he's pointing at you, and then he tells you to be executed. Okay,
don't commit no treason.
If I got an audience with him for it, then I totally would. So I love when the lower class Yoongi is coming in and he's like hanging out of that car, like when the car zooms in and he's just hanging out of the window. He's just like super cocky. It's this like, I mean, it's so Augusty, you
it's
know,
so
like
Augusty.
that vibe. We also get like the reveal of his undercut, which we always it just feel is so sexy.
It's beautiful when we get the shot of it because you don't normally get to see it, but he whipped his head out and had that.
And the wind is, you
had
know,
the wind blow
through
it just to reveal it enough to really destroy us all.
Right. To really tease us.
Another kind of fangirl moment. This is just an army moment that I think a lot of us really loved was when he's rapping by the car and he's got the crew behind him and they've got this scroll that they fold down, which reveals the painting that I'm pretty sure Jungkook did of Bang PD. Love this because I really think it just goes, I think Bang PD is also mentioned in the lyrics of the song at this time, but I really love that he's kind of featured in this music video too for Augusty. And it makes me feel like, man, they really do have such a great relationship with him. So it's unique.
Yeah, the little poking fun, like, again, after all this time. I love it.
The nose.
Another fangirl. I think I just really like when Yoongi is like degrading towards me because I like when he's pointing his finger at me and then that moment when he's like rapping in front of the car and he spits like at the camera. I'm like, yes, spit on us. Like, but I love that moment. It's so hot to me.
It is hot. He does it so perfectly too. How he does the spit. I don't know how you can do a spit really well, but he does.
I have no clue.
Guys, the blonde hair Yoongi, I'm obviously in love. I'm obsessed with King Yoongi. But later on in the music video, he kind of brings it where it's not all up in a top knot, but some of his hair is down and it's long. And he like charges up from his like couch down the stairs towards us while walking with this drastic sway side to side, and that hair is swaying side to side with him, and this power walk with this sword. Ugh. It's like the hottest thing I've ever seen. It was too much. It was too much. But it's so funny because when we were going into research, guys, Kayla and I told her, I'm like, I feel like I'm really drawn to this long blonde hair because in Lord of the Rings, Orlando Bloom's character with that long hair, I was like in love with Orlando Legolas. Bloom. I was in love with Orlando Bloom. And then
I'm in love with Orlando Bloom. We never knew this.
Kayla told me that she's in love with Orlando Bloom. And it's just funny because we never knew this about each other.
No, like I fell in love with him from Pirates of the Caribbean. Like those movies came out when we were young. And I also scrapbooked as a child. And I had like the first like three or so pages of a scrapbook completely dedicated to Orlando Bloom.
Yeah. I had like posters of Will Turner in my bedroom.
God. Fucking Will Turner. Just so, so hot.
Orlando Bloom.
Something else that I just thought of was we used to play, my brother and I, we used to play like the Lord of the Rings game on like the PS2. And I would always play as Legolas just because it was Orlando Bloom. Yeah, but it had like that long blonde hair. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I used to fast forward through Lord of the Rings just for Orlando Bloom's parts. Because I don't really enjoy Lord of the Rings like I should. I don't appreciate it like I should, I guess. No. But
yeah, no, I don't either. I'm a Star Wars girl, you know. I feel like it's not like it's their warring fandoms, I don't feel, but like, you know, you can like both of them, but I just don't. I've never gotten into Lord of the Rings as much as Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But Orlando Bloom's not in Star Wars, is he? No. Yeah. Anyways. After all these years of friendship, we found out that we both have an affinity for Orlando Bloom. And maybe that's why you like this blonde hair Yoongi so much.
I really made that connection.
Yeah, for sure. The swaying. I don't know what it is about the hair swaying. Yeah. It's so hot. Yeah, powerful. Of course, the headbanging, it's a personal favorite moment of me for the video when he's waiting to be executed and he starts headbanging and then all the people in the court who are kneeling start headbanging. I love it. I can't help but to headbang along. Doesn't matter where I am or what I'm doing, driving in the car, doing the dishes, you know, I'm headbanging along with them at that part. Yeah. Gotta do it.
It's perfect. It's perfect. And so lastly, for fangirl moments, I think this is a fangirl moment for every army out there because this shot was just jaw-dropping. Truly.
Incredible.
It's at 3:49. We've got blonde-haired King Yoongi with his sword that he is doing this really intricate sword dance with. But we get this shot where he pulls the sword behind his back and he's got it just like kind of resting on his back a little bit. And he slides his hand slowly down the blade of the sword while we also have this beautiful shot of his like ponytail hair off to the side with the blonde hair. Ugh. And he's looking down at his hand. Oh my gosh, and his cheeks are perfectly contoured.
Cheekbones! Oh, like, what the fuck?
Insane. The hair, the headband,
everything.
The sword,
everything.
The pose.
He wanted shocking, you know? This was so fucking shocking.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we can go ahead and get into some of our overall thoughts on the music video. But this is not relating to the message of the music video or the aesthetics, really. But like, I truly, when I first watched it, I love Min Yoongi and I get wrecked by Min Yoongi. But I was not prepared to be floored the way that I was floored with this entire video. Like, holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah, this just reaffirmed like Yoongi as like a bias wrecker for me. Yeah. Because oh my fucking God. Like he just kept coming at us this whole video.
The whole time.
Like And at this point, like that initial like dying over it has kind of worn off, to be honest, mm-hmm. because we've watched it like 10, so 15 times. You
I
know,
stop watching it.
But that first time was so shocking. And yeah it floored us. Yeah. Like being hit with the blonde hair and the black hair, it's like the best of both fucking mm-hmm. worlds. And the aesthetics, yeah. the aesthetics of this moment specifically, like that sword. Yeah. So hot. Just incredible. Iconic. Yeah. Iconic.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Overall, I love the whole music video. I love all the like symbols and the traditional Korean items and accessories mm-hmm. and, you know, the history that yeah. goes along with it, and really getting to know more about the Joseon Dynasty and Daejeota mm-hmm. and all that.
Yeah, we didn't go much into like what the music video might represent for Yoongi himself or related to August D. But we really felt like the more prevalent things in this music video were the Joseon Dynasty mm-hmm. symbols and kind of like the context around it. He even said in the shooting sketch video, you know, it's not as much about the lyrics of the song as it is about like the music. So I just feel like he's really.
Yeah. And the aesthetics of the video, he said, yeah. like watching the video, like the aesthetics, not so much. There's not many like theories or anything like that go along with it.
Right. It's more so just how Korean culture is represented through it. Mm-hmm. So that's what we wanted to explore. We hope that you guys enjoyed it. If you enjoyed this episode or if you enjoyed any of our previous episodes, you can always let us know by writing a review, by sending in a voice message on our website, by DMing us on any social media, and you can also email us. And as always, links for all of those things will be in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.